What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Tuesday morning here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Nick Kale, Mary Walter is in for Dawn Stenslin, Greg Stocker. Our morning mystery movie clip coming up in just about 18 minutes. Also, Phil Omquist has his own mystery movie club. We're going to play you a movie clip.
Yeah.
But he's got a movie club that he is a part of.
Really?
And I want to throw this idea out to people probably around the bottom of the hour and see if this was something you would shell out money for.
Interesting.
And it's an alternative, cheaper form of going to the movies. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. But obviously, the big story of the day is centered around what Trump said yesterday as he officially put out his statement and his position and stance on abortion. And we talked about that in the Big Take this morning. We looked at that document from Pew Research. We have Lindsey Graham going to war, because that's what Lindsey Graham loves. He loves war. He took a bunch of shots at Donald Trump. Trump fired back on Truth Social. And I teased earlier this morning that Mike Pence had some strong words for Trump in regards to his position on abortion. And we'll get to that now. I actually have two or three different stories here that we can hit on when it comes to Trump's statement yesterday. As the former Vice President Mike Pence called out Donald Trump and also Ron DeSantis for not insisting on a national abortion ban. Pence charged on Monday that former President Trump's decision not to support a federal ban on abortion is, quote, a retreat on the right to life and, quote, a slap in the face to the millions of pro-life Americans, end quote. The former vice president's statement came after a few hours after Trump took credit for the decision 2 years ago by the conservative majority of the Supreme Court that overturned the landmark Roe v. Wade ruling, which had legalized abortion nationwide. But Trump declined to support the push by social conservatives to ban abortion at the federal level and emphasized his support for states determining their own laws for abortion, so long as there are exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. So once again, this is, and you know, we're talking about, you know, the United Republican Party, the GOP, has never been more united before. That's what we're hearing from many different people. I don't believe it for a second, and I think Lindsey Graham, his position versus Trump, proves that. Mike Pence obviously failed in the primary. He was one of the first people out. He obviously, his kind of, when we were talking about all these primary challengers, so to speak, Mary, I put challengers in air quotes. You know, Nikki Haley carved out her lane. DeSantis tried to carve out his, even though it didn't work. Chris Christie had no success, but he definitely carved out a lane. He was going to be the big bad bully that, you know, counterpunches and punches back at the big bully Donald Trump. Mike Pence, you know, he just said, you know, in good faith, I can't endorse Donald Trump after I bailed out. Mike Pence plays to the evangelical Christian base. So I understand Pence's stance on the issue, but coming out now, especially for a guy like Mike Pence, where I sit here and I say, what does he have to gain by doing this? Now, if it's his opinion, that's fine. More power to you. It's your right. But, you know, I don't think Mike Pence has a TV deal in the works. I'm assuming the book deal has already come and gone. You know, if we're going to rally behind Trump, a lot like when we were talking earlier in the show in the 6:45 block, you might not agree with 20 out of 20 things he says or does policy-wise. But if you're on board, and Pence has said, policy-wise, Trump and I saw eye-to-eye on almost everything. This not being one of them, but a slap in the face. Okay, is it hyperbole? Is it a slap in the face to pro-lifers? Perhaps. But at the end of the day, here's the thing that Mike Pence can't do, Chris Christie can't do, and Lindsey Graham can't do. They can't become the president of the United States. And I think Trump realizes you can't put the genie back in the bottle. You can't undo what you did 2 years ago. but you can do the best you can messaging-wise. And I give Trump credit. I think the message is about as good as you could have done yesterday, given the circumstances. But it's not good enough for somebody like Mike Pence.
Yeah. I think Mike Pence and Donald Trump's relationship is very complicated, especially after January 6th, right? Yep. I think Trump really threw him under the bus. But that's politics. You know, it's like, oh, you know, he could never take Ron DeSantis after the way he treated him. I'm like, those are the primaries. Kamala Harris, you know, was the one who painted Joe Biden as a racist during the during their primaries, right? So
yeah.
That's part of the game. And if you can't take it, you don't play that game because it's not a nice game. And if you can't handle your feelings being hurt, you don't do it. But for Mike Pence to come out and say this, there's something with the Pence-Trump relationship. I thought they had kind of buried the hatchet. I thought they had kind of fixed it up, and I thought he was just going to remain quiet. I just thought that's kind of who Mike Pence is. He's a very quiet man.
Mm-hmm.
He was a perfect second for Trump. He knew the swamp. He knew the ins and outs. I thought General Flynn would have been a better VP for Trump, but regardless, something happened, I think, in there. Somebody's talked to Pence. Something happened. Lindsey Graham, I don't trust him.
No.
Don't trust him at all.
No.
He tries to walk the line between the swamp and the Uniparty and a Trump supporter.
Yes.
He is a smarmy, smarmy little snake.
He is, I think, what a lot of MAGA Republicans that maybe were not Republicans 8-9 years ago, they view Lindsey Graham a lot like Nikki Haley, although they tried to this is kind of the way I've framed Nikki Haley. She's a refurbished, repackaged, rebranded, old school, old guard Republican, mm-hmm. and it reminds me of the Bush Cheney McCain era. That's the same vibe I get from Lindsey Graham as well. Lindsey wants to have his cake and eat it too. Like,
well, I don't think he's hedging his bets because he doesn't know which way the Republican Party is going to go. And he is phenomenally funny. Oh my gosh, what a sense of humor! That man, hilarious. He's very, very funny guy, but only because he has an incredible talent to read the room. He knows who he's with. He knows where people's, you know, he can gauge where people's loyalties lie. Mm-hmm. And he is excellent at playing that. He is phenomenal. He's probably as good at that game as Trump is.
Well, that's interesting because I always look at him as a warmonger, and he's just always all about the military industrial complex. I don't know what it is about the South Carolina Republicans, Nikki Haley. Tim Scott, maybe not so much. I think Tim Scott wants more, peaceful times. But everything you just said about Lindsey Graham is how I feel about John Kennedy in Louisiana. Like, he's smart, he's funny, he's witty, he knows the game, he's always on his game when he's in front of a microphone or at the podium, when he's grilling somebody in a, you know, a Senate-type hearing setting. That's the kind of guy that I really like. To me, Lindsey Graham comes off as like a snake oil salesman. Like, he's, I think, why a lot of people don't like politicians. Because I think he only rides the Trump train when he feels it's beneficial for him, and he will immediately get off of it if he thinks there's a better avenue and an exit. That's the read I have on Lindsey Graham.
Love John Kennedy. I just think he's hilarious.
He's the best. But,
and I can't remember what it was. I haven't had breakfast. But he voted on something recently, and he voted like with the Democrats on. I was shocked at the way he voted. Do you remember?
No, I don't. I just recall him about 2 weeks ago grilling that college skier on climate change. He totally undressed that kid. He's like, well, you're an expert, right?
That was not a fair fight.
Oh, it was a total beatdown.
But he, I want to say like a month or so ago, there was a big vote on, and he voted with the, I was shocked that he was one of them who voted with the Democrats. And I was like, oh, maybe he's just better at hiding it.
Mm-hmm. Now, that could very well be the case.
I don't know, but he is one of my favorite. My all-time favorite was Louis Gohmert.
Okay.
But he's gone.
Yeah. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. But as far as what we're talking about with Pence, this to me, I feel like if you're talking about the relationships with Trump and other highly regarded Republicans in office or even out of office right now, I think there's a real rift between Trump and Pence. I think a lot of it stems from the fall of 2020 through January 6th. obviously there is a major disconnect between Trump and Chris Christie. I think Chris Christie is butthurt. I think he wanted to be Trump's VP. He wanted to be a part of this, that, or the other thing. Trump wasn't having it. But I do think there are others out there where, you know, now that the primary is over, I think, you know, they can let bygones be bygones and smooth things over. Like, I think Trump and DeSantis are probably fine at this point. Although, I'm still waiting on the Nikki Haley endorsement. It's
never coming.
It's April 9th.
It's never coming.
That's a shame.
She's not going to endorse him. I'm telling you that right now.
Do you think that's going to come back to backfire and hurt her career-wise?
She's betting on what's going to happen to the GOP after Trump. If Trump loses this,
she's playing the long game.
Yeah, if Trump loses this, she's going to look like the smartest person in the room.
Very interesting.
No, I got to just... Greg, what is wrong with this? I blame it on the eclipse.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, first of all, U.S. is going to hurt her career. I'm sorry, what career would that be?
Well, I mean, in all honesty, you know, even though Don Lemon tried to argue she's not in her prime, she is absolutely in her prime.
Don Lemon.
I mean, she's got she's got 25 years left technically in politics. The way things, hell, she's got maybe 35 years left. I mean, she's what, 53? In our political system, you can be in office at 87, 88, 90. So I think Greg might be right as far as she's playing the long game as far as being an option in 28 and beyond. The only thing is, Will MAGA vote for her 4 years from now without that Trump endorsement? I don't think they will. And I'm not sure that many new Republicans will vote for her because she epitomizes the old guard.
I got news for you. Trump doesn't win. There is no MAGA 4 years from now.
You don't think so?
No.
So you think it's a
I think we get one party rule and we're done.
So it's a slide back to like the Republican rhino days?
I don't think the Republicans will matter at all, because it's going to be Democrats will own both houses and the presidency, and you're done.
See, you know, I would disagree with that. Can you do it like Trump? No. Can you try to emulate Trump? No. Can you try to be disingenuous in your presentation? No. But can MAGA continue? Yes. If you think about what the movement is, you just say, because again, and I thought Dawn nailed this months ago when she said Trump didn't create the MAGA movement; he just answered it. And I think there was the desire for that. It's just a matter of finding the right guy. You can't come out and try to be Trump light, Trump 2.0. Remember when DeSantis was kind of billed that way? I always go back to what's the British guy's name? He's on Fox occasionally.
Stuart Varney.
No, not Stuart Varney.
Nigel Farage.
No,
Piers Morgan.
Piers Morgan, when he interviewed DeSantis, he was like, "You're kind of like the Diet Coke to Trump's regular Coke." You can't do that. Because people see through it.
When I say there's going to be no MAGA, I think the sentiment will still exist with a large number of Americans, half of America, but they will have no voice and no power.
Okay.
Because if you have one party rule in this country, they're going to pack the Supreme Court, right? They're going to add 3, 6, 9 justices, whatever they need in order to make sure that they have a liberal court that will just rubber stamp everything that they do.
Yep.
And so unfortunately, I think the country will have to play out, and we're going to have to play out the one party rule, and we're going to have the decline, and we're going to get to a point where America hits rock bottom, and then, you know, something happens, revolution, whatever, to get it back to where, you know, we get back to two parties again. Maybe three more. That's fine.
Yeah, could very well be. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, Morning Mystery Movie Clip is coming up in just about 5 minutes. And then we will have the Phil Almquist Mystery Movie Club. Would you ever jump on board this plan and program? Very interesting that he hit me with this out of the blue this morning. We'll kick that around when we come back, but first a word from my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. Recently, we dropped the debut episode of Kale Pool Karaoke. I think it was almost 10 weeks ago now at this point, and we filmed the launch of that in the 2024 Honda Pilot Trail Sport. And if you are in the market for a full-sized SUV and you are looking for extra space, you're going to love the third row seating. It is becoming a trendy thing for the growing family. And this vehicle also features a 7-mode drive system, Trail Watch multi-camera view, so you can take care of yourself and your family safely and securely, 18-inch alloy wheels, and wireless Apple CarPlay. because you got to have all the modern technology to keep the kids entertained with all the devices and tablets, right? And you can check out the new Honda Pilot at any of their five Piazza Honda locations in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Reading, Springfield, and Langhorne. Shop all their inventory, piazzaautogroup.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Dawn show coming up at 10. Kathy Barnett in for Dawn all week long. We'll also get to the morning mystery movie clip in a moment. Also, today in music history, who won Twitter today? The cut sheet part due. It is all still on the way. 855-839-1210. If you would like to jump in, the Phil Almquist Mystery Movie Club in a few moments. But first, our morning mystery movie clip.
And now, the morning mystery movie clip on Kale and Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is critical that he keeps his hand open and touches nothing.
Hey, Skylar. Mr. Kim, just shaking hands. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Dave will bow to Kim, then shake his hand, immediately disposing of the strip in his jacket pocket, which will be lined with an absorbing agent that denatures the poison.
Oh, no.
Hey! Hey! Think you know what it is? Call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
I have no idea what that is, but I'm not eligible. But if you are and you know what that is, call at 12 855-839-1210. You will get a pair of tickets to see Jeff Lynn's ELO Over and Out Tour on September 21st at the Wells Fargo Center. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. But if you are caller 12 right now, 855-839-1210, you will get the tickets for Jeff Lynn coming up the first day of fall, September 21st at the Wells Fargo Center. Good luck, 855-839-1210. All right, so this morning, as I was trying to get prepared for the show, I'm sitting here doing a little prep. It's 20 after 5. I'm sipping my coffee. And occasionally, once Phil gets all the stuff set up for the show, he'll come in. He'll say, hey, did you see the game last night? Or I went to this Jets game. Or I went to a New York sporting event. And we chit-chat about stuff. And he is also apparently a part of this mystery movie club. I don't even know if that's the right way to frame it. Let me bring in Philip right now. Phil, this was a very interesting thing that you presented to me out of the blue this morning, by the way. And I'm kind of intrigued by it, but I want to make sure I frame it properly, so that's why we'll bring you in. What exactly are you doing? Because I know you basically see movies that you don't know what you're going to see at a discounted rate.
Yeah, absolutely. Regal Theaters, I think it's only Regal. And not every Monday night, but a lot of Monday nights, basically they have this mystery movie. And it's not like I'm part of an exclusive club or anything like that. You can just go to Regal's website and buy tickets. But basically you're buying a $5 ticket as opposed to the normal $12 or $13 or whatever a normal movie cost is right now.
$17.
And you go see a movie, you have no idea what it is going in.
So you're going in totally dark. You purchase the tickets in advance. You show up, and it could be... Now, are these all movies that are currently in theaters?
Or no, could they just all have not been released at this point when I see it.
So it's kind of a cheap, exclusive sneak peek before the public, so to speak?
Yeah, most of them actually are independent films, basically not the big blockbusters. So you're seeing the next tier of movie down, like the one I saw last night, which was The Long Game, which is why I talked to you earlier, because it was actually about golf. It was actually really good.
Right. Okay. And now how many times have you actually gone to this experience where you were going in, you had no idea, they rolled out a movie that you had no interest in, and you're like, this kind of sucked. I wish I didn't spend the money on it.
Well, I've done this like 5 or 6 times so far over the last 3 or 4 months, and only one was that bad. Okay. The rest have been pretty good.
All right. There's Phil Almquist. Mary Walter, does this sound like something as somebody who is very frugal with their dollars, as you have mentioned? Would you spend $5 to see a yet-to-be-released independent movie not knowing what you're going to sign up to see?
I think it requires, I have to think about this. I think it requires, it has to be something you want to do, something that you like. Like Phil is into movies, right? Yeah, so right. For a movie person... Mm-hmm. This sounds pretty cool.
I mean,
right?
I'm a movie person, but I don't think I'm interested in it.
Think of the things you could expand it to, right?
To what?
You know, so like restaurants, bars. So you could have a bar that Monday night's usually a slow night, and if you belong to, you could pay $5 or whatever it is to come in, mm-hmm. and they're only serving two drinks, and you don't know what they're going to be beforehand.
Yeah, see, and I, as the station alcoholic, I would do that. I'd be totally on board with that. It sounds like a great idea. Yeah.
Right.
As far as the movies, though, I love movies, but I don't want to have to pay for something. Sit down, the previews roll, and then we go into the movie, and then I look over at my buddy or my wife, and I'm like, we're 7 minutes in, and I've got no interest in this. Let's get the hell out of here.
But isn't that better than spending $20 a pop for a movie five minutes into it, and you're like, this is terrible?
Well, but I'm going to reject the movie by not going at all. Like,
I mean, you don't know that. I mean, come on, you've never gone to a movie, and you got partway through it, and you're like, what the holy hell?
Well, yes.
I walked out of Cats, the musical on Broadway.
Did you really?
Because it's so god-awful. Because we went, this was back when Broadway was affordable.
Yeah.
We used to go to Broadway a lot. Because I love a good musical. And Cats was the only one where I said to my husband, I'm like, do you have any idea what's happening here? He's like, I got nothing. I'm like, let's go to dinner.
See, like, there's, I mean, for me, if I'm going to a movie, it's because I've seen the previews and I'm either a fan of what I've seen, or it's a continuation, it's a sequel, it's a reboot, whatever it might be. So there's already some interest that says, okay, yeah, let's go see it. It's worth my time. Maybe it's because I just don't like surprises. I hate surprises. Anytime somebody says, hey, I got a surprise for you, like, it just drives me insane. I just don't want to spend... It's like
you sound fun.
Huh?
You sound fun.
Oh, I'm a lot of fun. I just don't like surprises. I also hate having happy birthday sung to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just...
When's his birthday?
You just
somebody's
got to
text me when his birthday is.
For 48 seconds.
January.
Yeah, January 3rd.
So, but there's, you know, there's also a thing online where it's called Two Blind Brothers, and they have to shop blind. So you pay for different size boxes, and you don't know what you're going to get in them. And they ask you like all these questions about what your likes are and dislikes and this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they shop for you, and you know, it's you don't know what you're going
to
get.
Would you let somebody do that for you at the grocery store? Hey, I'm going to cut your grocery bill from $1.50 to $1.05, but you don't know what food you're getting. Would you sign up for that?
Well, they'd have to know your likes and dislikes, that kind of thing, in order to do that. They used to do this back in the day when there was a Columbia Record Club, and I'm dating myself here, I was a kid, right? Remember Columbia Record Club, Record House? And you would also get, like, a free CD or whatever, and you never knew what it was going to be, but it was always based on, they think you would like this, based on what you've ordered. Mm-hmm. You know, there's, like, Stitch Fix. I have a friend who swears by it, but you don't know what they're going to send you. You know, mm-hmm. they pick out the clothing, they pick out the outfits for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So
you're back in Greg's good graces. You brought up music and Columbia Records.
Oh, I mean, Columbia Records is my, what was it? Like, you got 12 CDs for a penny.
Was that, I remember my mom got them. She used to get Alan Jackson CDs.
And then you had to, but like, there were all kinds of hidden fees in there, and they kept sending them to you. And I think people are still paying off.
Well, you had to do it every month. That was the thing, is like you had to buy every month. And there were some people who you were supposed to, and the thing was, is you were supposed to send the CDs back if they sent you stuff that you didn't like or something like that. And nobody sent them back.
Nope.
And they finally realized that people are selfish and scammers and they couldn't make money on it.
Absolutely.
All right. We've got Greg in Delaware. He's our morning mystery movie clip winner this morning. Greg, good morning. What clip did we just play for you, buddy?
That's from The Interview.
That is correct. Congratulations, Greg. I had no idea what that movie was. Never heard of it,
no.
But I was tipped off.
That was James Franco, right, Greg?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Franco and Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen, where they interviewed Kim Jong-un or something.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, it wasn't really him.
Right. Yeah, it was the fake Kim.
It was an assassination attempt.
Oh, the assassination attempt. Yes, thank you very much.
The fake Rocket Man.
Yeah.
All right, congratulations, Greg. We appreciate you listening and playing, and you get the tickets for Jeff Lynn's ELO coming up in September.
By the way, since we're in a giving away mood...
That's right.
I asked you to do this at 8:45.
Yes, and we just...
And
I forgot.
You said yep, and then you didn't do it.
Yeah. So right now, if you want to go in two nights to Pints and Politics with the great Dom Giordano and his guest, Rand Paul, it's coming up Thursday night, two nights from now, April 11th at 7 o'clock, Zlock Performing Arts Center, Bucks County Community College. Just be caller 10 right now, 855-839-1210. You will get yourself a pair of tickets. If you'd like to purchase them, and they are going quick, you can get them at 1210WPHT.com. Yeah, you did say that about 48 minutes ago.
I did.
That's a good job out of me.
Like a fine-tuned machine.
I know.
Does anybody know what happened to James Franco? Like, he was the flavor of the month for a while.
Yep.
I remember he was supposedly really smart and, like, got... It was like a Renaissance man type thing going on. Whatever happened to him?
I have no idea.
Didn't he get, like, didn't he get Me Too'd?
Did he really?
I don't quote me on that. I don't know that for a fact.
Let me look it up.
Yeah. I don't know that for a fact, but I thought there were some allegations about him that may have been made.
We'll see if we get that answer when we come back. All right, we'll get that answer as well as what's on the cut sheet part two. It's all coming up next as we continue. It's Kale and Company, Mary in for Dawn. Back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by the Gift of Life. Join Gift of Life for the 27th annual Donor Dash coming up on Sunday, April 28th at the Philadelphia Navy Yard. Promote the life-saving importance of organ and tissue donation by participating in the 5K or the 10K run or the 3K walk. Register today at Donors1, that's Donors, the number one, .org. All right, it is 9:40. Let's get to What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2. Part 2.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
Part 2. Excuse me for a second while I find my sponsor here.
Let me clear my throat.
What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2 on this Tuesday? Sponsored by Best Work Industries for the Blind. Best Work Industries for the Blind. E-commerce store is helping businesses succeed in all work environments. BestWorkSupplyCenter.com offers traditional office products, cleaning supplies, furniture, technology, and more with free shipping and next-day delivery. Shop now and save at BestWorkSupplyCenter.com. That's BestWorkSupplyCenter.com. Nick Kale, Mary Walter, I'm sure you guys have seen all of these stories about people just being randomly punched in the face in New York City.
I've certainly seen a lot of the violent activities, but I didn't know that there was like a new trend or phenomenon.
Apparently there have been 44 victims in the last couple of weeks. So these are women, these are young women, who are just randomly walking down the street, and some psychopath comes up and punches them in the face, films it.
Okay.
And injures them.
Oh, sounds like a TikTok challenge.
Inside, it does.
The knockout game. Yeah, sounds like the knockout
game. It does sound like the knockout game. Inside Edition got four of the women together to discuss it on their program a couple nights ago. And this is how that sounded. This is cut one, Phil, go.
What's your reaction to seeing that this is happening to other women?
It is actually so comforting just hearing each of your stories and say, okay, we felt this, but we can get through it. And we'll bring attention to it and help other women who are also struggling with this as well.
All these women, members of a sisterhood they never wanted to belong to.
No woman wants to feel scared walking down the street.
A woman on TikTok has been compiling all the recent videos of women who were sucker punched in New York. It's now up to 43.
There you go.
So, biological females getting punched in the face for no reason by men on the streets in New York after having to deal with all this nonsense of men being in women's locker rooms. Very interesting story here that kind of connects that video with some print. Salon.com. Men punching random women in New York City. It is a desperate last gasp of the male rage, Mary. that is fueling MAGA. So this writer for Salon.com has automatically assumed, now I don't know, were any of those women interviewed by police? Did Inside Edition say, hey, ladies, what did the suspect look like? Were they wearing red MAGA hats?
Right.
Did they pull up out of a cab with a Trump flag?
Say, did he make pour America bleach on you?
I'm just wondering, because this writer says, men are punching women randomly on the streets of New York City. As usual with these kinds of diffuse and chaotic stories, there's much that is unknown, including how often this is happening, how many people are involved, or whether it's at all coordinated. Women report being assaulted by men of different races and ages. Still across the different stories, a couple of similarities popped out. The alleged victims are mostly young and pretty, and most of them say they were minding their own business when they were attacked. The writer also goes on to say, and I'll wrap up here, these stories resonate as well because the nation is having a moment of increasingly unhinged male fury at women for daring to have lives that are centered around something other than catering to a man's every whim. Unleashed by Donald Trump in the MAGA movement, there's an upswell of loud male entitlement shouting at us from every corner. So, Mary, this writer says, look, there's all different races and ages, and we don't know who's responsible for this, but this we're going to have to find a way to link it to something on the right. It's either racist, it's climate change, or it's a MAGA Republican's fault.
Yeah. Well, again, I think we talked about this earlier. It's super simple. You know, the eclipse, and I have to do my thing, so I'm just going to go and somehow go down the rabbit hole and link it to racism.
Mm-hmm.
So this, I'm just going to go down the rabbit hole and somehow link violence to Donald Trump because the left has to paint all of Trump's supporters as violent. And so you have to elect Joe Biden to protect democracy from these violent animals.
Yes, the man who's threatening to take democracy away from you is simultaneously protecting it from being stolen away by Donald Trump. You know, it's fascinating with all the crime that we have seen in the defund the police movement. How much crime on a daily basis that we talk about, how much of that has ever been directly linked or correlated to the MAGA movement? You know, with all these people with carjackings and murders and illegal border crossings and crimes, are they all MAGA Republicans? I didn't get that memo.
Isn't the left and Joe Biden constantly telling us that crime is down?
Yeah.
Yes.
So which way do you want
crime's
it, right?
Crime is down because if you don't report it, the numbers are less.
Yeah. Yep. And the FBI also gave out a bunch of bad data. We'll get to this tomorrow. The Washington Examiner actually took the time to look at the stats to show you how manipulated these numbers are. Just like the Biden jobs report.
By the way, I would go out on a limb here and say that the individual or individuals who are punching women randomly in the face in New York City, none of them voted for Donald Trump.
That would be my guess.
I would put that. I would bet my life savings on that.
Because probably they are young or they are career criminals that are out on bail, and I highly doubt that. Like 17-year-olds or these little groups that show up on dirt bikes and it's all coordinated through direct messages on TikTok and Instagram. I'm guessing they're not Republicans. It's just a hunch.
No, I think what's happening, though, with these, you know, people who are these guys who are just punching these women in the face, I don't think it's coordinated. I don't think it's any of that. I just think this is men, young men. They could be all men for all I know. I don't know who they are, but I think there's probably a link to drugs.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a link to mental health issues.
No father in their lives.
Right. But my point is that I just think these are people who are not in their right mind because of drugs or a lifetime of criminality or no dad in their life. Whatever it is, they ain't never getting on the right path.
No.
By the way, the Salon article is titled Men Punching Random Women in NYC, A Desperate Last Gasp of the Male Rage Fueling MAGA. And the writer is Amanda Marcotti, M-A-R-C-O-T-T-E.
Okay.
So, any guesses on what she looks like?
Pink hair.
I was going to go purple hair, big glasses, and a nose ring.
And hates men.
Yeah.
And this is why I think that, again, that section of society, we should probably give them a little time out on the voting thing until we get the emotions under control.
Yep. Do it with them like I do with my 4-year-old.
What?
Son, you have to go into time out now. You're not listening.
Yeah. Exactly. Think about what you've done.
Yeah, exactly. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona was on the CNN morning show this morning, touting the student loan forgiveness. I'm telling you, a well-coordinated effort. They're all on the same page.
They'll all go out there with the talking points.
They're all going out there with the
media
same talking
blitz.
Points.
Here it comes.
Yep, media blitz is exactly what it is, Nick Cale. This is Cut 16. Phil, go.
Where the White House has released a new set of proposals that could relieve millions of student loan debt in student loan debt before the election. It is President Biden's second attempt to implement broad student loan forgiveness after his first plan was struck down by the Supreme Court last summer. With me now is the Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona. Mr. Secretary, thank you so much for being with us the morning after a big UConn victory, which I know you must have liked. You're still smiling over that. Look, what makes the administration so sure? What makes the administration so sure that you're not selling borrowers false hope for a second time here? How will this proposal pass legal muster when the first one didn't?
Yeah, first shout out to the UConn Huskies. But look, as the president said yesterday, we're fixing a broken system. We're trying to provide a fair shot to Americans trying to access higher education. And we're doing that by addressing runaway interest. We know it's been out of control, the interest that people have to pay. We're going after those schools that are defrauding our borrowers. We're providing relief to those who have been paying for decades. We're providing relief to eligible public servants. And we're addressing hardship that many Americans face.
I got a couple of 11th graders who've begun looking at colleges, so I have a keen awareness of how much college is expected to cost in a year and a half. The New York Times just put out a study saying that some schools, private, could cost up to $100,000 a year.
Right.
So what does student debt forgiveness matter in the long term if these tuitions are going through the roof?
You know, it does matter for many Americans who are right now saddled in debt. I talked to a teacher yesterday in New York who took out a $30,000 loan. It ballooned to $60,000 because of the interest. So it does matter for that teacher who can now buy a home or really, you know, help her children go to college. And we're also working on college accountability. We have a new SAVE plan that makes paying back your loans more affordable. So, you know, we in the Biden administration here, we have a multi-pronged approach to make higher education more affordable and more accessible. As a first-generation college student, John, I can tell you, 30 years ago when I was looking, I needed something like this. I'm thankful that the administration right now is putting our efforts to making higher education more affordable. We have to lead the world in education, and we're taking steps to do that.
Oh, so there's a couple of things here. I don't know what type of loan are people taking out today for college where they borrow $30,000 and owe $60,000? You double your what you owe at the end. That makes no sense to me. My interest rates for student loans are like 2.5%. So that's the first thing. Secondly, is college overrated? Is it overly priced? And do they stifle free speech? Yes, yes, and yes. But is it broken? I mean, for people today, nobody's forcing you to go to college, Mary. You don't have to go to college. That's a choice you make. So if you don't want to do it for X, Y, or Z, then don't do it. My whole beef is just on the you signed up for this, right? Like, you know, I can't just not pay my car loan back. I can, you know, I can't just not pay my mortgage back. Sure, you know, it'll get repossessed, but I'm just,
for now.
Yeah, I'm so
for now. Until the government takes that over as well. So the average of the rates on interest rates on college on loans for education can go up to 8%. Compare that to credit card loans and what the interest is on that. What to credit cards, if you don't pay your credit, are like 22%, right?
It's absurd.
How many Americans, we have credit card debt in this country is skyrocketing and people aren't paying it off. So imagine what people who are using their credit card. So if you know the rate is 22% and you're maxing out your credit cards and not paying it back, I would think that the vast majority of those people are using those credit cards for things like keeping a roof over their head or feeding their kids or clothing their kids or something important, not necessarily a trip to Cabo.
Right.
And if you're doing it for a trip to Cabo, I don't feel sorry for you. So pay through the nose, honey. But that's going to be the next thing is Joe Biden and tell us now, well, we have to get rid of these predatory credit card rates because these poor people are trying to put food on the table because of him, but they're still trying to put food on the table. So now we have to do that. So I think that's one thing. And the other thing is, and the interviewer said, well, I'm seeing how expensive college is. Bingo. college is ridiculously expensive. Where is this money going?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why is college so expensive?
Yep.
You know, they're like country clubs now in order to get these kids to come because the government got in the student loan business.
Bingo.
So now when you have government money, everybody has it. It's a bottomless pit, and they have, you know, all of these things that you don't have at Mar-a-Lago. You know, it's crazy.
Right.
So, you know, Elizabeth Warren, what'd she get? $400,000 to teach one course at Harvard. And it's so when you're doing things like that, yeah, it's ridiculously expensive. Let's look at the cost of college and what they're getting. Maybe cut out some of the fat. Tell people Harvard has, how big is Harvard's endowment? Why are kids who went to Harvard getting their loans forgiven? Harvard's sitting on this money. Pay it off.
I agree. All right, that'll do it. What's on the cut sheet part two as we wrap up today with Today in Music History.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history on Kale and Company.
Today, April 9th, and what a great day it is. We celebrate the birthdays of Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance and Kevin Martin of Candlebox. One notable album, Begin Here by the Zombies, released on this day in 65, their debut. Singles include Heaven by Bryan Adams from 85 and Your Wildest Dreams by the Moody Blues from 86. Also, in 94, Pantera's Far Beyond debuted at number one. And lastly, I thought I'd actually randomly drop another top list today like I did for the 50th. So today, here's my top six songs with a number six in the title.
Yeah.
So number six, Ringo Starr, You're 16. Number five, The Wallflowers with Sixth Avenue Heartache.
Nice. That's
number four, Tommy Two Tone, of course, 867-5309. Jenny.
Who knew there was this
three,
many songs with six in it?
Tool with 46 and
there
two.
We go. Yep.
Number two, Bryan Adams with Summer of 69.
Yep.
And number one, Today When I'm 64 by the Beatles.
Wow.
Have a championship day.
Oh, boy.
For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Lomquist.
Yeah, it's amazing he was able to put that together as he was watching UConn win the national championship last night.
But good job,
that was
Phillip.
Very, very impressive.
It's
very
great work,
job,
buddy.
Phillip.
Great work.
Yep.
All right, that'll do it for us. Stay tuned. Kathy Barnett is up next. She's in for Dawn for the rest of the week. We've got Bruno in tomorrow, Mary back on Thursday, Sean Farish on Friday. Mary, great job as always, and we'll talk again
Thanks,
on
guys.
Thursday, okay?
See you Thursday.
All right. And as
Thank
John Fetterman
you.
Would say,
good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.